Hello and welcome to this podcast, which covers the discussions at the July meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board held in London from the 20th to the 23rd of July 2015. My name is Kristina Reitan and I'm part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. I'm joined by Stephen Cooper, ISB member, and Hugh Shields, Executive Technical Director, to talk through the discussions and decisions taken at the July board meeting. Before I hand over to Stephen and Hugh, I just want to mention that the views shared in this podcast are those of the participants. They do not necessarily represent those of the ISB. Hugh, one of the topics discussed at the July meeting was revenue. Do you want to give us the details?
Yes, let me start with that. So the board met to discuss the feedback received on the exposure draft on the effective date of IFRS 15, which is the standard on revenue from contracts with customers. The board decided to confirm its proposal to defer the effective date of IFRS 15 by 1 year, and therefore the standard will apply for entities for annual reporting periods beginning on or after 1 January 2018. However, we should still note that the standard is available for early application. That continues to be permitted. All board members agreed that decision.
Thanks, Hugh. So on to insurance then. The board continued its discussion about the possible deferral of the application of IFRS 9 to contracts that issue insurance contracts. This is to do with the problem of the interaction of IFRS 4 and the new IFRS 9, and in particular, the effective date for IFRS 9 being 2018, and for the new insurance contracts, IFRS 4, the effective date for that will be sometime after, given our continued re-deliberations on the insurance contracts project. The board discussed this last month and we're looking at a number of potential approaches that might be used to deal with this problem due to the difference in the effective dates. Last month we talked about a liability solution. This month we talked about deferral, but not the full deferral of IFRS 9, but instead an overlay approach which would have the effect of deferring the effects of IFRS 9 as regards the income statement for those assets which relate to insurance activities. Now, the board will continue further discussions on this in September. The decisions that we took this time about this overlay approach were tentative. We do need to look at other approaches. And if you're interested in more detail on this subject, there is in fact a separate podcast produced by the insurance team, which goes into a lot more detail about the proposal that we discussed at this meeting, as I say, this overlay technique. But say the board will continue with further discussions in this area in September.
As is usual, the board considered a number of IFRS implementation issues. I'm going to pick out just one, which is in relation to IFRS 5, which is our standard on non-current assets held for sale and discontinued operations. And in particular, the board considered a number of IFRS 5 issues that the IFRS Interpretations Committee has discussed, but not yet resolved. And the discussion was really about around what further work would be appropriate. The board felt that it is most appropriate to divide these issues into those that can be considered in the short term and those that can be considered in the medium to longer term. For the medium to longer term issues, the board tentatively decided to include a reference to IFRS 5 concerns raised by the Interpretations Committee in the request for views in our forthcoming agenda consultation. And I might just mention, just to give a signal on that, we intend to publish the request for views on the agenda consultation in August. This is an important opportunity for our stakeholders to tell us what they think our priorities should be on the technical work programme. The request for views will be open for comment until the end of the year, and it's a very important opportunity to really tell us how you think we should be prioritising our technical resources. So just to mention that as I go through this issue. At any rate, the agenda consultation will include a reference to these medium and longer term issues. For the short term issues, the board decided that these could be referred to the Interpretations Committee or back to the Interpretations Committee for possible agenda decisions.
Okay, so moving on to fair value measurement. The board discussed the responses that we'd received to an exposure draft that we put out proposing certain amendments to, in particular, IFRS 10, 12, IS 27, 28 and IS 36, which all relate to situations where you do a fair value measurement of an equity investment, but where you're dealing with not just a small minority equity investment, but a more substantial equity stake. So this applies when it's subsidiaries, joint ventures, associates. Often this requirement to do fair value measurement arises when, for example, you have an investment entity and then instead of consolidating a subsidiary, you will be using fair value measurement. And the question is exactly how do you measure fair value in this situation? And is it price times quantity, so taking the quoted price of the equity asset, or do you in some way take into account the significant stake that is held in the business? So are there premiums or discounts applied to deal with situations where you have a valuation of effect of having this substantial stake? Now, it's a difficult question, and the board has a long discussion in getting to the exposure draft. I think it's fair to say that the majority of respondents to the exposure draft did not agree with the board's proposal that one should apply P times Q when dealing with level one fair value measures when there is a quoted price in an active market. We've decided to undertake more research in this area, so we didn't take any decisions at this board meeting. There was a fairly lively discussion, if you're interested in listening to the recording of it. But the board didn't take any decisions, and we have asked the staff to do more research in this area, and we'll continue our discussions at a future date. So that's it on fair value measurement.
Let me just say a few words about the education session on the IFRS taxonomy. The board discussed a staff analysis of comments we've received on a trial of the IFRS taxonomy due process. This is a trial that's being conducted in connection with the exposure draft of proposed amendments to IAS 7. It was an education session and no decisions were made, but it was actually a very animated discussion nonetheless. The staff recommendation, the board decided not to agree with that. And so in the end, most board members were of the view that the board should be involved in approving any proposed IFRS taxonomy to update at the time a standard is being finalised rather than concurrently with the exposure draft being issued. So with that recommendation or steer, the staff will discuss or develop a recommendation for the due process oversight committee to approve our IFRS taxonomy updates along those lines. And that will be a discussion that will be taking place in October when the trustees meet.
Okay, shall I continue with non-financial liabilities and IAS 37? This is a project that's on our research agenda, and the board had an initial discussion in response to some papers brought by the staff on issues with IAS 37 and whether and how we should perhaps do more work in this area. I mean, IAS 37 has been around for a long while, and on the whole, it works quite well. It certainly is a massive improvement on what was there pre-IAS 37, where there was little or no guidance in this area. But there are issues with IAS 37. There are unanswered questions, if you like. For example, IAS 37 doesn't really specify in detail what discount rate to apply in measuring these non-financial liabilities. It doesn't really explain what is meant by risk adjustment. And there are a number of other specific areas, and the staff paper, which is available on the website, we'll deal with that in more detail if you're interested. Some of you might recall that actually there was an exposure draft issued on IAS 37 several years ago, was it 5 or 6 years ago, which the board didn't proceed with because some of the proposals that we had in there did not get a great deal of support, and the board, as a result of that feedback, decided to defer the project at the time and do more work. So that's an indication of that it is a difficult area, and we're returning to it now. It's on our research agenda, and we've instructed the staff to go away and do some more thinking. So no doubt over the coming months and perhaps years, we'll be returning to this subject more and more. But it is an important area, and I think the board recognise that there are issues that we do need to do research on. That's it on IS 37.
Okay, thank you very much, Hugh and Stephen. And before we finish, I just want to remind you that the official summary of the July board meeting, which is called ISB Update, can be found on the IFRS Foundation's website, www.ifrs.org. That has got some more information about some of the other topics that were also discussed at the July board meeting. And also just to flag up that the next ISB meeting starts on the 18th of September. Thank you for listening.